Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This Memorial Day weekend, I'm skipping phony sales and shopping at Bob's Discount Furniture, where I don't have to worry about missing out on great savings. Because no matter what, when I shop, Bob's has trending styles at everyday low prices, ready to ship fast. Like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob sectional with over 1,700 five-star reviews. So make the most of your summer and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Baseball and community go hand in hand. And with Pitch, Hit, and Run, you can make a lasting impact.
All right, fellas, here we go.
Register to showcase the foundational skills of young athletes from your local community in the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball, known as Pitch, Hit, and Run. Make an impact today. Pitch, hit, and run. Visit playball.org to sign up today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Wow. So I have some information here from the CDC, some data and statistics on sickle cell disease. So sickle cell disease affects about 100,000 people in the United States. More than 90% are non-Hispanic, Black, or African American, and estimated 3 to 9% are Hispanic or Latino. The estimated life expectancy of those with sickle cell disease in the United States is more than 20 years shorter than the average expectancy. And many people with sickle cell disease do not receive the recommended healthcare screenings and treatments. So I know that this was something that you and I talked about and that you really wanted to share, which was about the disparities that we see in sickle cell disease. But I know that one of the reasons that Dr. Norman reached out and wanted to talk about this was because of the amount of sickle cell disease and sickle cell anemia that we see in the Black community, that we have so many in our community who suffer from this. And for that reason, they are the ones who are on the receiving end of some of these disparities that we see. So we can talk about that and the disease a little bit more. We're going to go to break right now. So we'll be right back. And if you'd like to join the conversation, please call in at 404-726-1380. We'll be right back. News and Talk 1380 WALK. Talk 1380 WAOK. We are back this morning as we are talking to Glenda James Fincher about sickle cell disease and the disparities in the Black community. So I have, again, some information here from the CDC, and it says that sickle cell disease affects millions of people throughout the world and is particularly common among those ancestors who came from parts of the world where malaria is also common. So that would include sub-Saharan Africa, Spanish-speaking regions in the Western Hemisphere of South America or the Caribbean, and Central America, Saudi Arabia, India, and the Mediterranean countries like Turkey, Greece, and Italy. So these are some places where you see some prevalence of sickle cell. And so, Glenda, you have done a really good job of telling us what sickle cell is and how it's detected in the body. Can you give us some idea of what some of those symptoms are like when you have sickle cell?
Well, the sickle cell acute pain crisis can just come up at any time. Very disruptive to your life, where 1 minute you're feeling fine, and in the next 10 to 15 minutes, you could be in so much pain that you cannot stand up.
Oh.
And what happens is, because the oxygen has left the cells, and then you have this, the red blood cells are sticking together and blocking the blood flow, what happens is organs are damaged, because the blood, particularly the red blood cell in the blood, is the life that brings the oxygen to all the tissues. Mm-hmm. And without that, you have a lot of tissue destruction. So some of the possible complications of sickle cell disease are strokes. About 25% of children people affected with sickle cell disease start having strokes in childhood. Kidney failure is another very more common complication. Liver damage, we get gallstones. Typically, we have gallstones in our gallbladders. Mm-hmm. By the time we're teenagers, and which would cause us to have the gallbladder removed. It causes heart damage, congestive heart failure. We can't have heart attacks, spleen damage, and your spleen makes a portion of your immune system. The cellular part of your, or rather the some of the antibodies and antigens, antibodies that help your immune system, that mm-hmm. are part of your immune system. So therefore, with the spleen being damaged, it is because it's constantly recycling red blood cells at extremely dead red blood cells at extremely high rate. That spleen damage causes the spleen to shrink up into a little non-functioning nub by the time you're in your teens. Therefore, our immune systems are lowered with sickle cell. We also get lung damage. Pneumonias are very common, and that used to be the cause of death in children with sickle cell in the United States. We cut down the death rate by just giving antibiotics as soon as the child is diagnosed, mm-hmm. putting them on antibiotics at least until they're in their late teens or early adulthood, and that cut the death rate by 50%. So now, I was born in 1959. I'm 65, which is actually quite old for sickle cell. The average now with lifespan is between mid-40s to mid-50s. But we have many that pass as children in their 20s and your 30s.
Wow.
There are a few of us that are living longer, mm-hmm. Such as myself and some people living into their 70s. Sickle cell also causes damage to your retina in your eyes, just like diabetic skin retinal hemorrhages. Sickle cell causes retinal hemorrhages and can cause blindness. We also have damage to our joints. We get arthritis. We have infection and collapse of the hip and shoulder joints. This is caused by what's termed avascular necrosis, which means because the blood flow has been interrupted so much to the hip joints where there's very small amount of blood flow. Bone and blood flow, it causes the hip joints to collapse. The shoulder joints also can collapse. So you may need joint replacements. Some people need them as early as 16, 17 years old.
Wow.
They need hip replacement.
Wow, it does sound like it is very disruptive.
For males, priapism, which is sustained erection of the penis, is a bad problem, and sterility for males and females can happen. We also can get chronic skin ulcerations of the lower limbs, and sickle cell can delay puberty. And it was realized when sickle cell began to be tested for on a regular basis, that a lot of crib deaths, that used to be called sudden infant crib death, wow. A lot of that was actually the infant having a massive sickle cell crisis.
Wow. So how is this treated? Is there any one thing or series of things to treat it?
It varies. Oh, one other thing I wanted to say. The 100,000 sickle cell patients in this country, actually, it's more than that, but they don't count us like they do for other diseases. They don't keep the records. We only have a few states that actually have, that actually keep a database of those affected with sickle cells. So at this point, it's more than 100,000.
I heard was no database for sickle cell patients. So there was no accurate number for that.
Also, if you're in the United States, a disease is considered rare if it's less than 200,000 people. So even though it's the most common inherited blood disorder in the United States, it's considered rare. In the world, it is at least 10 million affected with the disease. So it is the most common inherited blood disorder in the world as well. Wow. And so in the United States, it also causes at least 75,000 hospitalizations a year. And this cost is now estimated to treat sickle cell in the United States, estimated to be $1.6 billion.
My goodness.
Billion with a B. Because the treatments, because these sickle cell crises many times are so bad that even the medications that they give us that we can take at home does not control it, the pain enough, and become so severe that we have to go to the hospital, to the emergency rooms. And we are supposed to be given fluids. We must, because our kidneys do not concentrate our urine properly. When you have sickle cell, we lose fluids faster. And we have to, therefore, we have to drink a lot more fluids, especially water. The other thing is to get as much rest as possible. The antibiotics, as I mentioned before, there are the pain can be treated with aspirin, ibuprofen, other non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs like naproxen. These things can help a little in some of your potential chronic pain. But a sickle cell crisis.
Hold on 1 second before you go into the crisis stage. We're going to go to break and we're going to come right back. We also have a caller on the line for you. So we'll be right back. News and Talk 1380 WALK. News and Talk 1380 WALK. We are back. We're talking to Glenda Dames Venture about sickle cell and sickle cell disparities in the Black community. So, Glenda, you have been a wonderful source of information for us this morning, and you have done a great job of sharing some very valuable information with us. I'm just blown away, you know, because I knew about sickle cell. I don't think I knew this much. Well, I'm sure I didn't know this much. I didn't know that sickle cell patients suffered so much and so severely and in so many different ways with this disease. I'm sad to hear this because it sounds like it's just really no relief, you know, for some of the symptoms that you have. And it must be, I know you said rest was one of the important things that you had to have, but I'm just wondering, how do you rest with something like that when your body is going through so much trauma like this on a regular basis and at any given time, like you said?
One of the main treatments for these sickle cell pain crisis are opioid medications. morphine, OxyContin, Vicodin. Those are the types of medication that are required to treat this pain, especially in the acute, with the acute sickle cell crisis. We can have some medications at home, and if those are not working, we tend to stay home longer than we probably should, because we get such, many of us get such terrible care in the emergency room, and we're stigmatized because we need these narcotic medications. So, and when we do have to go to the emergency room because of the pain crisis or other complications, we are given IV doses of morphine. Wow. And Dilaudid, which is synthetic morphine, which is about 10 times stronger than regular morphine. So we also require, many of us require red blood cell transfusions. And these help to limit the sickle cell pain crisis in some patients. We're all, you know, different in some ways as to how much it affects us and in what ways. But the red blood cell transfusions are also used if you have a stroke and you survive it, you're put on a chronic transfusion schedule. For the chronic wounds, you would be on a red cell blood transfusions. We can use up to 100 units of red blood cells a year.
Wow. I don't know what that means, but
I have had over 700 units of red blood cells in my lifetime, and I'm on a chronic transfusion.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I always know when a big holiday shopping weekend is coming because there are sales everywhere telling me to shop now or miss out. But when I shop at Bob's Discount Furniture, I never have to miss out because Bob's has the latest summer styles at everyday low prices. Plus, Bob's has tons of real five-star reviews for me to rely on, which is how I found a real marble elm dining set with over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom reclining sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to skip the holiday weekend gimmicks and score five-star style for every room in your home, listen to the smartest shoppers around and shop at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Hi, I'm Bobby Witt Jr., ambassador for MLB's Play Ball.
Let's play ball!
It's an accessible, fun way for kids of all skill levels to learn the game, make new friends, and most importantly, get out and play ball. No prior experience needed. No bat or glove. No problem. We provide participants with their own bat and ball kit so kids can come as they are. Don't miss Play Ball Weekend, June 5th through the 7th. Visit playball.org to register for an event near you today.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Fusion program. And for 25 years, and that's prevented my foot from being amputated, and I've survived what's called multiple organ failure and various, actually I've been resuscitated twice. And without the red blood cell transfusions, many of us would die sooner. We would have many more complications, and they would be much more severe. The issue is, since over 80% of us in the United States are African American, we need blood from other African Americans. And the reason is your ABO blood type, your ABO and RH blood type, is not the only typing that's done on your blood. We have minor blood group antigens in our blood that in the lab we call it the alphabet soup. We have minor blood group antigens that are more common by different ethnicities. So in people of African descent, there are antigens such as CE and KEL antigens and Duffy antigens that are more common. Therefore, that are more common in people of African descent. Therefore, we need our red cell transfusions to come from other African Americans. This is a serious issue in this country. We are in a blood shortage in the summers. We end up with a blood shortage. And now going into the winter months, especially in the colder climates in the United States, the blood shortage is getting even worse. We've just had the blizzards in actually only a few miles from me, and more coming to my area in Cleveland, Ohio. But Buffalo, Northern Pennsylvania, all of them right now have had over 60 inches of snow.
Yeah.
This will cause a massive blood shortage, and African Americans need to donate blood for African Americans. And we have only about 1% that donate blood.
Wow.
So that's one issue.
Hold on. Let me pause you. Let me pause you just one moment, Glenda. I have a caller on the line for you. Actually, I have two. But we'll go to Henry first in Atlanta. Henry would like to ask a question or make a comment. Henry?
Yes. Okay. Good morning to you, Dr. Green.
Good morning.
Glenda. I'm a cousin. We've had cousins that have, from what I understand, they stayed in different towns but passed away from related sickle cell anemia, is there a certain hospital that you might have difficulty helping being able to admit? And we recall in the transportation business that there was this particular gentleman, he wasn't able to get service at this particular hospital. It might have been because they were so busy, but he was just trying to go back home. So we stopped by another hospital, and they made mention to bring him, for him to come inside, and they said they deal with the sickle cell person, put him at the front of the line. And so afterwards, you know, he were able to get help. But what he was saying is he kind of had a disdain about really his parents, you know, him being born, knowing, I guess maybe his parents could have prevented having children or something for him to be going through all that pain. So the two questions is there a certain hospital that you need to know that service and admit patient with sickle cell, and is there a certain hospital that don't? And do y'all have any type of award or recognition to those that really suffer under sickle cell? Because it sounds like a Purple Heart situation, you know?
Well, before you answer that, Glenda, and by the way, Henry, Glenda is in Cleveland, so I'm not sure that she would know any hospitals here that are in Atlanta, so she might not know. But if you do know, Glenda, if you can answer that after this break, because we're going into a break, are you okay with staying over a little while for us? Glenda?
Yes.
Yes? Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, great, because we got another call for you also. So if you can answer that question after this break, we'll be right back. News and Talk, 1380 WALK. News and Talk 1380 WALK. We are back. We are discussing sickle cell and sickle cell disease with Glenda Dames Fincher. She is giving us a real education about the disease and some important things that we need to know. Before the break, Glenda, we had Henry on the line, and he had two questions for you. Were you able to answer either one of those? I know you might not know about the hospitals because you're in another state.
Well, I've done advocacy for sickle cell for 40 years, and a lot of that includes being in meetings and so forth across the country. And since COVID, most of them are virtual. So I am familiar with Emory Hospital in Atlanta. That is actually one of the oldest hospitals that has taken care of and has specialized center for sickle cell in the country. Hospitals are supposed to treat people that come into an ER. They don't have to admit you, but the basic law is they're supposed to treat you. Any hospital refusing to treat a sickle cell patient with just even the basics, which is IV medication and some pain medication, they are actually breaking laws that is considered malpractice. It's terrible. And this is, now I'm going to get into the really serious, even more serious issues about sickle cell. The stigmatization being predominantly people of color.
Okay, before you go there, because I know this is going to be the meat of this, I want to bring Dr. Norman on. Dr. Norman is on the line, and he wants to join us, join the conversation. Good morning, Dr. Norman.
Oh, hello. Hey, how are you doing, Ms. Green and Glenda? Glenda?
Good.
I am so happy that you have had this discussion on in depth. I was tied up, and I'm sorry that I missed a portion of it, and my timeline was off, but this is so important to have this young lady on to talk about the ravages of what's happening in terms of our medical care. And this is indicative of how, you know, we are treated overall, as viewed as overall as people in this country, in terms of our chronic conditions or even any simple medical conditions and stuff. And it's, and this whole mistreatment, and I think Glenda, Ms. Fincher has well articulated that a disease like cystic fibrosis, which comes and occurs in white, is far more heavily funded than that of sickle cell disease. And I don't know the numbers, but there are far more people who have a prevalence of sickle cell disease in this country. And the other shameful part is that black media, and our black media people have, and our medical establishment have done a horrifically poor job in terms of, over the years, getting this type of information out here. I mean, we're busy. Anyway, I'll just leave that alone. It's been horrific. And then it also, this thing is wrapped in the whole philosophy of the Harrison Act. You go far back, and 100 years ago of eugenics, and how we have went out to try to eliminate black folks by depriving them of medications that were needed and those sort of things. And I was just pulling up an article that people don't understand. Like, it's an article I just pulled up. It's called Negro Cocaine Fiends Are the New Southern Menace, Murder and Insanity Increasing Among Lower Class Blacks Because They Have Taken to Sniffing Since Deprived of Whiskey by Prohibition. This is 1914. And you'll see that the mistreatment of folks who were dependent, and I'm going to use the word dependent, upon the opium and the products or narcotics that were necessary for treatment of this of sickle cell pain, that it's all has been wrapped around in this country in particular, in the thinking of eugenics. And most importantly, when we look at the current laws that we have now with the so-called, quote, opioid crisis, people have hardly understood it. A gentleman by the name of Andrew Kolodny, He's a psychiatrist, and he's one of the major pushers of the so-called what's happening here, depriving people of the type of medication and criminalizing the use of narcotic analgesic medications was necessary in here. And one of the things he wrote in the New York Times, 2018, that black people don't feel pain, because of racism, that saved a lot of people, black people, in during the opioid crisis because they discriminated against. In fact, nothing could be further from the truth. This guy's out of Brandeis University. He's around right now. He has driven this policy. Andrew Kalodny. Very few people have ever heard, but he is a diabolical racist and stuff. And the sad part is that our media have never tried to expose them. Our black professional folks who are supposed to be protected never wrote any articles against him. We've written about him several times in our blog. You more than several times of Andrew Kalodny and the devastation that he has caused, and the fact that he went down to Atlanta to the CDC and was really a payoff and concocted this crazed opioid guidelines that they had no business developing. And in fact, even in the guidelines, they excluded folks from sickle cell from these so-called guidelines, yet because of racism, the medical doctors and pharmacists in particular have used these so-called morphine milligram equivalents to deny people the necessary type of health care and criminalize the disease of sickle cell, and folks are dying. Yet we're so caught, and I'm so happy that you, Angela Green, and others at this station have decided to put this voice on, that our doctors for treating patients with sickle cell are being arrested and thrown in the prison. There are very few hematologists. Ms. Fincher here have been suffering, and they have a little group. And when I remember coming in that group and going to a meeting, and then I learned maybe a couple of weeks ago from Ms. Fincher herself that certain people in that group have died unnecessarily because of their pain. They're being denied proper treatment for the care. People want to use this word addiction, or better yet, it's dependency. These people are dependent upon these type of narcotic analgesic medication, just like I'm dependent upon my blood pressure pill. Some people are dependent upon their thyroid medications and stuff, and they have criminalized the folks who have had sickle cell. And if you could only hear the horrific stories of particularly pharmacists. I feel uncomfortable filling that prescription. Well, you're nothing but a drug-seeking addict and stuff. And withholding, no one says anything. These people are withholding treatment from people who have this chronic disease. And it's not sickle cell. There's conditions like Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. That we are sarcoidosis, you see, and prevalent in black folk, where you have these genetic disorders that are called horrific pain, and folks are suffering and dying. Or now when you add to that this thing about the mistreatment you see now with in obstetrics, where even a DNC and that sort of thing is being criminalized, you know, we are left to suffer, and it's all based upon the ignorance of our people, our media, to getting this stuff out here to our people. And this is, I'm so happy that you have decided to put this on, and people need to read the blog. You are within the norms.com. And there's a whole group of us. We've done the research. We have done the study. We have and detail what is going on here.
Dr. Norman, you know that I'm familiar with all of that and with your blog. Yes. And I know that you are familiar with the group that I worked with, the co-writers for Protection Against American Medicine, the bill that we wrote to protect doctors and pain patients like Glenda who are out there. So we have done this work and have been doing this work for a while.
And the sad part about it is the lack of support that people like you.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I always know when a big holiday shopping weekend is coming because there are sales everywhere telling me to shop now or miss out. But when I shop at Bob's Discount Furniture, I never have to miss out because Bob's has the latest summer styles at everyday low prices. Plus, Bob's has tons of real five-star reviews for me to rely on, which is how I found a real marble elm dining set with over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom reclining sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to skip the holiday weekend gimmicks and score five-star style for every room in your home, listen to the smartest shoppers around and shop at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Hi, I'm Bobby Witt Jr., ambassador for MLB's Play Ball.
Let's play ball!
It's an accessible, fun way for kids of all skill levels to learn the game, make new friends, and most importantly, get out and play ball. No prior experience needed. No bat or glove, no problem. We provide participants with their own bat and ball kit so kids can come as they are. Don't miss Play Ball Weekend, June 5th through the 7th. Visit playball.org to register for an event near you today.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, the detail of the bill that you and the coordination, and all the things that you did to put the people together around this country, and the discussions that we had to put this bill together, and when we presented it to who helped us. Claim to help this organ when we presented to our people at the federal level in who are our elected officials, they act like they didn't even know us.
That's true. That is true.
They didn't even know us. I mean, it was like a waste of time.
And I got to go to break, Dr. Norman. I got to go to break.
You're going to get me preaching.
Yeah, I know. I got to go to break. We'll be right back. News and Talk 1380 WALK. Talk 1380 WALK. We are back on the WALK Morning Show. We are talking with Glenda Dame Fincher about sickle cell. And I know just before our callers joined in on the conversation, Glenda, you were just getting ready to tell us about what was really important about sickle cell, and that is some of the disparities that sickle cell patients face. Can you share that with us?
Yes. Norman mentioned cystic fibrosis compared to sickle cell. There's a large gap in funding for more publicized but less prevalent diseases as compared to sickle cell disease. Cystic fibrosis is a genetic disease that's almost exclusive to Caucasians. it has about 10 times, it gets about 10 times more governmental and philanthropic funding, despite sickle cell disease being 3 times more common. NIH, the National Institutes of Health, allocates about 4 times more funding per person with cystic fibrosis than it does for sickle cell. Hemophilia is another genetic blood disorder. It's a bleeding disorder, and it's predominantly in Caucasians. It affects 1/3 as many people as sickle cell does in the United States, but gets 5 to 6 times more funding than sickle cell.
Wow.
Sickle cell was also discovered over 100 years ago, and it was the beginning of the discovery of DNA and genetics. And actually, in medical schools, many medical schools start out teaching about genetics by talking about sickle cell disease. And so the funding from the United States government is, and it's terrible. And the other big issue is, and this is kind of alluding to what Norman was saying, and also to the other caller that had the question about why was this person not able to get treatment at one emergency room, and then, you know, they got to take them to another one and so forth. Getting treatment for the severe acute pain episodes, the sickle cell crisis, in hospital emergency rooms or in acute care clinics, or even some acute care clinics, very few, but there are some. This can be a huge source of anxiety and distress and downright torture for people with sickle cell. There have been multiple studies that have examined the discrimination in healthcare experienced by sickle cell warriors, as we have beginning to call ourselves warriors, because that's what this is. From the cradle to the grave, we are in this battle. And in 2016, a study found that white medical students wrongly believe that Black people have a higher pain tolerance than white people. This was something way back from slavery.
Wow.
But
yeah,
of all the participants in this particular study of medical students, 73% still believe that. Okay. About the biological difference between races. So in interviews with sickle cell disease patients, scientists have found that we are greatly stigmatized. There's a lot of racial bias from healthcare providers when we ask for the opioid pain medications that we require, even when that is in our care plan, that our hematologist, that's who specializes in sickle cell care, is a hematologist, which is part of... they are also cancer doctors. So the few treatment centers we have in the country is part of a cancer center. One thing doctors don't like is the fact that there is no lab test, there's no vital sign or other test that determines whether or not we are in a sickle cell pain crisis. And pain is subjective as well.
It is.
So because they have no test and we look okay on the outside, even though we are toe up from the floor up inside, they, you know, want to say, well, you're just an addict
and you're just seeking drugs. You just want some free drugs.
Yes.
Yeah, you're drug seeking.
And even in hospitals that I worked for, I've gone through issues like this in the emergency room, where I had to, and I'm not even on a chronic narcotic. Like many, you know, patients are. And this is the other issue about a lot of doctors will tell people, oh, I don't know what to do. And, oh, I haven't seen a sickle cell patient and whatever. Well, in 1984, the NIH published the Management of Sickle Cell Disease Manual. That was in 1984. Which states that the patient's report of pain is to be believed and treated accordingly. That manual even provided a flow chart of the treatment of acute sickle cell pain crisis. NIH has updated their manual twice. The latest update was in 2014, and they asked for commentary from sickle cell community, sickle cell advocates and patients regarding the updated manual. What was in the updated manual? So I and three other advocates from other states, we got together online and met and collaborated on a commentary about the 2014 NIH guidelines for sickle cell. And we submitted that to the committee that worked on the manual. And that 2014 manual from NIH was called Evidence-Based Management of Sickle Cell Disease Expert Panel Report 2014. And even since then, the American Society of Hepatology published the 2020 Clinical Practice Guidelines on Sickle Cell Disease. They also developed a Physician Pocket Guide application, an app that they can put on their phone, telling them what they should be doing, treating guidelines for sickle cell, including the emergency room. There's also teaching slides online on the American Society of Hepatology. They have teaching slides online to help physicians know how to diagnose, manage, and treat sickle cell complications. Then in 2018, there was an emergency department sickle cell care coalition that was formed by multiple medical societies and associations, along with the CDC, so these government agencies, NIH, the Sickle Cell Disease Association of America, which is like our national nonprofit advocacy organization, and Health Resources and Services Administration, and the Joint Commission on Accreditation of Healthcare Organizations. They all came together, did a coalition in 2018 to work on these issues. Then in 2023, the American College of Emergency Physicians published guidance on evaluation and management of patients with sickle cell disease in the ED. So that document, all of these documents say the patient, this is quote from the emergency physician's guidelines, quote, patient report of pain is the gold standard, end quote.
Point blank, so, period. So whatever the patient says is their amount of pain, that's what their pain is, and that's not to be disputed, argued with, questioned, delayed, prolonged, criminalized, any of those things. That whatever you say as the patient, that's what it is, because there's no way for them. How can they argue with that? How can they say that it's not? They don't have a
they
way
do
to
do it every day.
I know they probably
done every day. In this
every
country.
Day. But
I have had people I know have died.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, they died because they were refused treatment. One man I know, and this was from some years ago, he was in his 20s. He was having a sickle crisis. His mother was a nurse at the hospital he would go to. She brought him into the emergency room, and you know, saying he was in sickle cell crisis. She, nurses, immediately started an IV on him, gave him oxygen, which is standard to start out. They waiting for the physician to come in to order the pain medications. Physician finally comes in, and he says, "Oh, this is what you're in here for, sickle cell crisis?" And he says, "I'm not giving you anything. All of you all are just drug seekers."
Yeah, that's the problem. That's the problem.
And leaves the room. And this is what a woman who worked for that hospital in front of her.
Yeah.
And her son said, "Mom, take me home to die."
Yeah.
And she said, "You're not dying, are you?" He said, "Yes." She took him home. His best friend came over and said, "Man, I can't leave you like this." Brought him to another hospital. Okay. I happened to be working in the lab that evening at the hospital that his friend brought him to. And he passed out waiting in the emergency room. They immediately rushed him up to intensive care. And then the blood that the doctor sent to the lab to be analyzed was black. Blood is supposed to be in a tube, you know, dark red. It was black. Oh, that was like blood from a cadaver. And I was like, what is this? This is something from somebody.
Hold on before you continue, because we got to go to break. We're late going in. So I'll let you finish when we get back. We'll be right back. And we got a caller holding for you also. So we'll be right back. News and Talk 1380 WALK. WALK. We are back with Glenda Dames Fincher. So Glenda, you were sharing a story with us about a young man who was in a crisis.
Yes. Once he was brought to the hospital that I worked at, after he was refused care at the hospital that his mother was a nurse at, when I got his blood in the lab, it was black. Like, blood from a cadaver, somebody that had been dead for days. I looked in the computer system to see what is the diagnosis on this patient. Mm-hmm. It was in an intensive care unit. Is this person alive? And I see the diagnosis was sickle cell crisis. I said, oh my goodness, how can he be alive? I called the intensive care to ask the doctor, is this person actually still alive? And he said, yes, barely. We're trying to get his potassium level down. It's in a critical value and so forth. He's in multiple organ failure. And I said, well, you know, this isn't going to even give correct results because instrumentation is going to see this as, you know. And the doctor said, well, just give me what you can. The next day, because I worked second shift, as soon as I got to work, the first thing I did was look up this patient. Mm-hmm. He had died that night.
Wow.
So here, this is, and I have so many people that I know personally. My 16-year-old great niece died of sickle cell complications. I have multiple people. I'm the second oldest in our sickle cell support group, and two of our members died in September, and just fighting. One was a double amputee below the knee due to sickle cell chronic leg wounds, foot and leg wounds. And that's another discriminatory issue that affects sickle cell warriors who have chronic limb wounds. Is that Medicare refuses to cover sickle cell disease wounds for prescribed custom orthotics, custom shoes, and many of the treatments such as cultured graft tissue, which are all covered for diabetic wound patients. Physicians know that sickle cell disease wounds are some of the worst to treat. They're very, very painful, whereas most diabetic wounds are not. Sickle cell wounds cause amputations, sepsis, which possibly causes death.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sepsis meaning an infection that gets into the bloodstream.
Yes.
And our wounds are more difficult to heal and stay healed. I've advocated to Congress and the Sickle Cell Disease Caucus in Congress about this for more than 15 years. I began to suffer with the complications of a sickle cell wound in 1979 when I was in college. Even when I worked for two major hospitals in clinical chemistry and hematology labs full time for over 26 years, each of those hospitals over the many years I worked had insurance from various insurers such as Blue Cross Blue Shield, Anthem, Aetna, etc. I have always been refused, even with those insurers, for coverage for these prescribed orthotic shoes, orthotic, custom orthotics, and some of the treatments that doctors use for chronic wounds. So all of these private insurers always say, when we send an appeal about the refusal of coverage, the private insurers always say, we don't have to cover it because Medicare doesn't. So I've had this wound off and on since 1979. As a matter of fact, it had been closed 10 years and it opened back up 2 years ago. And we've been working to try and get it closed again. And it's taken anywhere from 6 months to 6 years. I've had over 20 surgeries, flap grafts. My own skin has been used 3 times and it always dies within less than 72 hours. I've had to pay out of pocket, which is about $400, just for a pair of custom orthotics. And even when I was working, I'm now I've been on disability 15 years and I'm retired now. Even when I was working, I couldn't afford to get 2 sets of orthotics every year, even though I was working on my feet.
Yeah.
I've never been able to afford custom shoes. My podiatrist, dermatologist, various reconstructive surgeons have had to fight for months to get an applograft, which is cultured tissue, approved for me. In Ohio, I'm not eligible for Medicaid, which many sickle cell patients are. So I end up with a lot of medical co-pays and so forth. Mm-hmm. In Ohio also, I have a U.S. Senator, Senator Sherrod Brown, who had always supported my fight about this refusal, this discrimination of coverage for foot and wound supplies for sickle cell. However, this latest election, Senator Brown lost his seat. So I'm at the point where, well, we plead to have our severe pain acknowledged with sickle cell and for our medication to be given according to our care plan and well-established guidelines. We plead for equity in funding for treatment and research, among other things. You have a very good, one of the best advocacy organizations there in Atlanta, the Sickle Cell Community Consortium. And they've become very powerful, very, very great at getting things done with sickle cell and educating the community.
Yeah, we invited them to be on with you this morning, but I don't know what happened. So I'm not sure what happened there, but we did invite them to be on this morning.
Right. Might be due to illness.
Yeah.
Winter months are very hard for us, but we sickle cell warriors constantly have to battle this disease and have healthcare professionals who feel we don't deserve the kind of care they're willing to give to other people with other diseases.
Wow.
So, frankly, after 40 years of advocating, I've done it locally, statewide. I'm on the state, on our Ohio sickle cell organization in our, which is our state sickle cell organization. I'm on their trustee board. I'm on the board of the local Red Cross. I'm doing as much as I can to advocate. But frankly, I am very tired. Sometimes I want to give up trying to fight this systemic lack of proper care and concern from us. But God has told me I must continue to rest in His grace.
Yes, yes.
And keep on fighting, especially because the younger warriors deserve better than this.
Absolutely. We got to go to break. And when we come back, we got a couple of callers on the line for you. So we'll take those calls when we get right back. News and Talk 1380 WALK. News and Talk 1380 WALK. We are back. So, Glenda, we have James on the line for you. Good morning, James.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your guests. I have been around two family members that had sickle cell and died. And it's just amazing to me the age of in which a lot of deaths occur with sickle cell. And these are young people in a lot of instances. My cousin was 28 years old. in a, I guess, the prime of his life, enjoying life, he's going to college and everything, and had sickle cell, was diagnosed with it, and I know there's no cure for it, but it's just amazing that he could not get the medical attention that was necessary to keep him, number one, as free from pain as possible, and number two, to allow him to be mobile in his attempt to have a normal life. And one of the issues that I've been doing some research is the amount of money that's invested into the cure and treatment of sickle cell is just unbelievable how low it is. But yet they pour a lot of money into cancer research and diabetes and some of the other diseases that affect black people. But that's where I have a big concern, is how to, I guess, generate more investment into either the cure and treatment of this disease. It's not a lot of money. And I want to make another point also about something T.P. Bailey said, if I can. Hello?
Yes, James, we hear you. We hear you, James.
Okay. I just wanted to make those comments, but also the lie that Tea Party Lou said when she said that Biden's be considered the crime family.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I don't see anywhere where the Bidens or President Biden has been convicted of anything.
Hello.
Or his wife or his other family members. Okay, the problem I have with the plea deal is that it should have been made a lot sooner, and we wouldn't even be to this point if it wasn't for the fact that there was a judge that denied the, I said the plea deal, but the pardon, but there was a judge that denied the initial plea deal. The man went to court, and like a lot of Americans that go to court, and you can negotiate a plea deal with the district attorneys or the prosecuting attorney's office. It had a plea deal. A judge denied the plea deal. Now, these are charges that, from most experts, say that shouldn't have even went to trial or went to court. The judge denied the plea deal. Now, I'm going to give you one question, and I want to see what your answer is.
Well, can you call back, James, and ask me tomorrow? Because we got a guest, and we're almost out of time. We got one more caller.
No problem.
So can you call back tomorrow with your question for me, please? All right. Thank you. We got one more caller, Glenda, on the line. Todd. Good morning, Todd.
Hey, good morning, Angela. Hey, Glenda, what part of what county in Ohio are you from? I didn't catch that. Have you been in communication with the upcoming senator in Ohio, Marino, about their issue? And what's the annual cost for you of managing your sickle cell as of the last 5 years?
Okay. Senator Bernie, the one that was voted in, he's not in office yet. He has not been he has not been sworn in yet. Ohio is a very red Republican state. Senator Brown was the only Democratic governor. I have done this advocacy for 40 years, and the majority of the legislators that will even listen and care are the Democratic ones. We've had one or two Republicans over the years. I live in Cuyahoga County, which is where Cleveland is,
mm-hmm.
Cleveland, Ohio. And thank God we have one of the best sickle cell programs at University Hospitals of Cleveland, Simon Cancer Center. The other issue is once the new legislators come in, I will be sending out packets to them. And also National Sickle Cell Advocacy Meeting to Congress, which is typically in the spring, I will be testifying to them. Mm-hmm. So I hope that answers his questions. The other caller that said there was no cure, there are cures Not for everybody, not for the majority of us. We've had in the last, about 20 years ago, hydroxyurea, which was a drug used for cancer treatment, they realized that would help with sickle cell and thalassemia. There are some people on that it's not a cure, but it's a treatment that has helped some patients not have as many sickle cell crises and less complications. In the last 3 years, we've had a nutraceutical that was made into a prescription form in DARI. That is a treatment used to reduce acute complications. We also had, 2 years ago, we had two drugs approved for treatments, Oxbryta and Otakvico. Oxbryta was just recently taken off the market because of once worldwide, when they keep using the drug, then they saw more severe complications from it. Otakvico is still used. It's a monthly infusion that helps some sickle cell patients. They also sometimes use certain anticoagulants if a person is having a lot of clots and strokes and so forth. Also, for now over 20 years, bone marrow transplant, also called a stem cell transplant, has been used as a cure for some. I have the hospital I go to, they have cured children like 20 years ago, but you have to have a very close bone marrow match, sibling match. What we have now just approved last December of last year, two new gene therapies as cures. I have met a young man in his 20s who has been cured for over a year now. The clinical trials there's still some clinical trials going on. What has happened is pharmaceutical companies have been yelling at for decades that, look, you're leaving 10 million people off in the world that you're not spending money on to find treatments. When they finally realized that, paid attention to that, in the last decade, they have started, more pharmaceutical companies are now started to work on treatments and potential cures. But these cures that we have are only effective for a few of us.
Wow.
So it's not a total cure, but at least there's hope.
Wow. Well, we are out of time this morning, Glenda, but we thank you so much. You are obviously a very passionate advocate for the work that you do for sickle cell. And you have shared some very valuable information with us this morning. I had no idea that I was going to get such an education this morning, but I am very, very grateful to having you as a guest this morning and for all of the information that you have shared. What can you say? Do you have a number or anything that people who might be suffering with sickle cell might be able to call? Or do you recommend those people contact the sickle cell community consortium here in Atlanta? Would you recommend that number?
In Atlanta, yes. The Sickle Cell Community Consortium, they have a website. You can Google that. Our organization here in Cleveland, we're called Kincaid's Kindred Spirits. We are in Northern Ohio, and our advocacy is in Cuyahoga County, Northern Ohio area. If you're okay on Facebook, you can find our website, our page. We also have a website at kks4scd.org.
All right.
And you can Google sickle cell disease and find organizations.
Okay.
We don't have that many clinics, only about less than 20 in the country.
All right.
But we do have other advocacy organizations.
All right. Thank you so much for your time this morning. Mm-hmm. We are out of time.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
baseball and community go hand in hand. And with Pitch, Hit, and Run, you can make a lasting impact. Register to showcase the foundational skills of young athletes from your local community in the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball, known as Pitch, Hit, and Run. Make an impact today. Pitch, Hit, and Run. Visit playball.org to sign up today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.